You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
Welcome to what I trust will be a shorter version of the Massive Report podcast. Not that I don't love you guys, Alex, Bart, Murph, Ori, Sam. We'll have a guest. We'll bring him aboard here in a moment. My name is Brian Phillips from CD92.9. I'd appreciate it if you'd like and subscribe to the Massive Report podcast. The rebranding, Columbus SC, lasted about as long as last week's podcast. And we have some more stuff to discuss. And we could get deep into it. But I was thinking today that at this point, Nordec has so much power to affect change that Crew Cat won't even go to his giant litter box without their permission at this point. And we bring forth a special guest from Nordec, Ty Phillips, who was at the meeting last night. Before we get into the soup and nuts of this, Ty, what was the mood like in the room? Was it filled with tension? Was there anger? Describe just sort of the vibe of the room.
Yeah, to be honest, I would say like when we first walked in, there was like nervous energy. And I would equate that to the fact that I guess the last meeting did not go so well. And I think everyone was just like tense for the fact of, you know, we want to leave with a solution, but both sides aren't sure if they can get there. But it quickly dissipated. Like as soon as like we started talking, right off the bat, it started with like an apology. And I believe that kind of helped bring everything down. And it also helped that like everything was pretty quickly, we were on the same page.
Who was representing the organization at the meeting?
JW, Dr. Pete, D was there, and Bez and Steve Lyons.
So everybody, and who sort of took the lead on the groveling from the front office?
You know, like, again, it was more of an apology. It wasn't really like getting deep down. The way they approached it, which I really liked, D and JW kind of like ran it. D was just like, this is who we are and this is what we want to do. And this was a miss. And JW was more so like, you know, hey, how can we get to a solution type of thing? And that's where it was. There really wasn't groveling. That's what I think, like, I expect it's like all of those, I don't know, components to be in this meeting. I thought there'd be like some arguments and back and forth, some tension, but it really was just like, guys, we made a mistake. Let's fix it. It was actually like really, really good.
All right. What did your side come with in terms of what you were looking to accomplish last night? And what did you get everything that you asked for?
Honestly, yeah. We got everything. The first thing was we wanted the team name. We wanted Crew Back in a name. That was the one thing that we, before we went in, we were all on the same page. We want Crew Back in a name. We didn't know how that would look because we weren't sure, again, what they were going to present to us. But we were like, Crew has to be back in the name. We also wanted them to hire the supporter liaison. And then we also wanted there to be a plan to where either supporters group or the fan heads in general have a place at the table, have a voice at the table. And I believe we got all those. We definitely had some like long-term plans that we wanted, like, you know, overarching like community engagement, all that stuff. That's going to come along. But I think the main three things we wanted, like right off the bat, we were able to get.
How long did the meeting last?
The meeting itself was maybe like an hour.
Oh, okay.
We were there longer because it was more like after we figured out like what was done, then was coming down to just like, how do we communicate it? How do we roll it out? Like we sat there maybe another hour after that, figuring it out. But the actual like figuring out of what the terms would be, what we wanted, that was honestly maybe 30, 40 minutes. Because they like literally came with what we wanted. Like their first option was, like, this is what we want. Here's the name. Do you like the name? Yeah. Like, yeah. Everyone literally, like, Morgan, I look at Crew. I'm like, this is it.
It's the name Crew. Yeah. Yes, then we'd like it. All right. Yeah. Well, let's go around the virtual room here, Murph. I'll let you go first with Ty Phillips from Nordec.
Yeah, Ty, thanks again for joining us. Let's go back, though. I'm just curious I know what most people's reaction was to this, but since we didn't have you on last week, what was your kind of position on this whole thing when you first found out? Were you at the first meeting, or did you kind of find out as it leaked out? Well, take us back through kind of your last week or so.
So my last week, I did know that there was a rebrand coming. I didn't know details. So when I saw the leak, that was my first time seeing it. My first reaction was, I don't get it. I think I was more on the confused side. Because I had already come to terms with the rebrand coming and I was like, okay with it. I just was like, it sucks because you're going up against something that's good. Like usually rebrands you do because like something's broken or there's lack of engagement or whatever, or you just, something's ugly. That's when you rebrand. Those things didn't fit the scenario. So I was confused. And then for them to miss so hard, I was like, this doesn't make any sense. I hated it because I told a friend I wanted to wait until I saw the full rollout, because I started seeing obviously like the font changes, the flags, like you started seeing the small things, and I was like, oh, this could be cool as a full package. And as a package, outside of the fact that we had one of the best crests in the league in sports in general, the package itself is not bad. It's just you missed real hard, like with the actual execution of it.
Yeah, Ty, I think in general, the consensus, you know, you mentioned a great point there. It's just you rebrand when something is broken. You know, it's very rare you see a rebrand after a team wins a championship and is on such a high. Yeah. But one thing I wanted to ask you is regarding the badge, because the Crew have had now more logos this week than wins, which is probably the first time in the history of sports that has ever happened. But obviously it's with minor modifications, with the 96 replacing the Dorito, as Sam put it. And we also have Crew going underneath instead of SC. Was that something you guys wanted to bring up? And if there's any details you can tell us regarding the logo, is that logo set in stone for a certain amount of time based off of contracts potentially? And did you guys maybe have a recommendation for in the future, in 2 years or so, we want to help you design the new badge?
Yeah. So from my understanding, that is the badge, like for a minute. I think obviously, I mean, they're business people. If we're not buying it for a long time or whatever, like they may be like, okay, how can we tweak it? But they're leaning real hard into it. And that's why, like, when I went into the meeting, I didn't expect what we got with the whole putting the Crew back in, putting 96, because there's a cost to that. I mean, they, at this point, they were ready to roll everything out. So they invested a lot. So I'm surprised we did that. I mean, they were showing us even like the training center, like all the stuff that was going inside of it, like as we speak, that now has to be switched out. So I think you're going to see them ride with us for a while. When it comes to what we wanted in the badge, we did see three different versions of it. And for me, again, I didn't feel like it was horrible. I felt because it's such a miss and there was no ties to Columbus, it didn't make any sense. So once we saw the version with the 96 and then the Crew back in it, it felt now like it made sense. And that's all I needed. Cause my personal opinion, the logo to me, I'm going to get so much flack for this. It doesn't affect how I ingest the team. Like the logo just doesn't, like it doesn't affect where I'm going to watch a team. It doesn't affect the team I'm watching. So for me, I just want the identity to be there, which is Columbus Crew. That was more important to me than how the logo looks. That's probably going to get changed in 10 years or so anyways. I'm not going to lose sleep over that. I did like the olive branch though, of like bringing it back to some of the things we're used to, bringing that 96 back, putting Crew underneath it. I was like, okay, it feels like it's Columbus thing again.
I think also one of the really big wins that kind of gets overlooked here is this, you know, commitment from ownership to be genuinely engaging, moving forward with supporters group, whether that's, you know, this council. And I think it's important too, because you know, we're talking about Nordeca, but this isn't just the people that are in the corner. It's not just, you know, the rough lads and diehard supporters that this council that they're talking about, that Nordeca's going to kind of head, but this is supposed to really be representative of all the fans, you know, all your different levels. And can you tell us about or what they envision or what they're talking about, the sort of engagement and communication they're going to have with this council, you know, how regularly they're going to meet? You know, obviously the crest is going to be something on there, but is this also a way for them to, you know, maybe use these people as ambassadors to grow this game here a little bit more organically?
Yeah. I agree with you. First of all, that is the biggest win for me personally, outside of the crew name coming back.
Yeah.
Because if you really think about it, there is no page in the playbook of owning a sports team that says they have to do this. No sports team. I mean, outside of like Seattle, I think has kind of like a fan interaction component, but the level that they're looking at is pretty intimate. The liaison will be a full-time role within the club, first of all. So that's important. So there's always going to be a voice that can be at the table mm-hmm. when it comes to decisions. And then with the fan council, from my understanding, is that the Nordica will head it, but there will be delegates that could be like in and out that represent the fan base as a whole. So it's not, as you said, just the rough lads or the people in the corner. It can be like, this is Crew Nation. Let's talk about it. I mean, it seemed as it will be quite regular. Again, they're working on the role. It wasn't said like, oh, we're going to meet once a month or twice a month. But the fact that there will be a forum of some sort, that's regular in front of leadership and not just say like the marketing team, like in front of actual ownership, that's important to me. That was the biggest win for me personally, because I think that's where we won't have so much feeling in the dark with some of these things. I told them, for me, I think that was one of the bigger misses, that because it was kind of sprung on us, you're reigniting the trauma that we had a couple of years ago of just news being sprung up on mm-hmm. us. And Jeff actually dived really hard into that. He was trying to explain to them, like, there are very visceral feelings that come with this organization making on the fly decisions after being told, you know, the opposite. So this will allow like that to be a lesson, if that makes sense.
Alex?
Yeah, Ty, I got two questions. Number one, were there any conversations kind of early on or even in the second meeting around keeping the existing crest? I mean, I think that the crest is one that all fans kind of liked it. I know, you know, I always thought it was one of the best in the league. And, you know, was that ever on the table or something that fans in Nordica kind of pushed for?
No.
And then, you know, no, it wasn't.
No.
Okay.
I think, again, going into it, speaking for myself here, when you have an organization that's like, put that much into something and it's like their decision, like that's their baby, it's really more so let's find a meeting in the middle. They came in and wanted to put their mark on the club, which is understandable. They bought it. They have the team, they have the stadium, everything is theirs except for this crest. They're going to want to change something. What we did talk about was like in the future, how do you do like throwbacks and such? Cause we talked about three guys. We talked about even how to include that, but no, this is, I think even if they like, say if like for some reason 3 years they change this, I don't think we see the old brand come back. I think this is them, they're putting their mark on it. This is their product at this point.
So, and you mentioned that, you know, if in 3 years something new comes out, I'm not going to ask obviously if there was, you know, any sort of decision made on anything, but, you know, were there any kind of other parts to this whole discussion that have not come out yet that, you know, maybe there's some sort of a gentleman's agreement that in the future they'll take another look at this or anything, any, even like a crack in that door on like, maybe this is not the final.
If you can't tell, Alex really doesn't like the logo.
Yeah, I
hate
tell.
The logo.
I can tell. I mean, and, yeah,
I hate it.
I mean, I can be honest. It's like, in my opinion, obviously the old logo, like, you know, does wonders and works better. But to answer your question, that door shut, in my opinion. They are here. This is their thing. They really, like she emphasized, Dee, that how much they wanted to still like do something new. She even kind of explained some of the background of like when they took over the team, like the things that will like come along with that. They had a fresh slate, you know, and I honestly, at the end of the day, again, for me, doesn't affect my viewing of the team at all. It's a badge, the logo. I'm fine with it. They're pretty set on it. And the way that like they show the evolution of the logo, like I can see where it's going to grow and I see where it fits into what they're doing. It's this, they're leaning hard into it. That was not on the table, was not discussed at all. What I will say is that I personally, and I'm not being paid to say this, they weren't like, Tyler, let's get you to be the goodwill. No, like, cause I honestly, I'm very blunt. I don't like something I don't. As a package, I like the logo and the way it's going to be used going forward. Like when I saw it on the yellow jerseys, It's fire. It like works. It's a completely different brand at that point, which makes sense. It's a new team. So
I
mentioned on a previous podcast, or I don't know if I mentioned on the podcast, I at least was going to mention it on our podcast. I mentioned it to Murph that even when they came out with the font, I was like, I hate this font. Like, this was way before the rebrand came out. So I was never going to be a fan of it, but you know, you can't, with these things, you can't win with everybody, but yep. For me, it's just still,
you're well aware with that. When any type of rebrand, you're always gonna have someone that doesn't like it. I mean, right now there are people that don't like that there's gonna be a new stadium. There's literally people logging for like, why do we need a new stadium? And that are Crew fans, not even outside of that. But for me, and I'm gonna speak, I guess, for the ownership and even like the Nerd Echo here, we want the club to go to a different level. I think there are steps that have to be taken for that to happen. I'm not saying the rebrand is one of them, but I think that the visibility that they want to bring to it, the engagement around it needs to change. And these are ways to achieve that. Again, not defending. I'm just saying, like, even from my, because I could go into a whole rant on my personal opinion of where the Crew needs to be and where it's at. I do think some of these things needed to happen to make it work. And I'll die on that hill every single time.
Sam was the only one during the podcast last week when we were hashing this out to swear. So I don't know if he wants to swear again. But I'm going to give the floor to Sam next because he had some questions.
I would love Ty Phillips. Bring the heat.
No, actually, no swearing this time. It was about the Dorito, and they took the Dorito out. So I am okay. I went from hating it to being semi-okay, maybe meh at best. But, you know, my question, Ty, is really about this line that keeps popping up in my head that I read in the ESPN article about Dee talking about how she did not see the report from Jeff and Charles. And would it be possible for you to expound on that a bit more about how that exchange went regarding that report that was submitted by NORDEC for their consideration when they saw it back in January?
I think, again, I was around that situation as well. They own that fact. They brought that up. I think that's when they realized that the NORDEC and the individuals that are involved with it are assets. And they're like, we missed on this big. And the answers are right here in front of us. I mean, she implied that she had just recently saw it for the first time. And which, I mean, sometimes things happen, slips through the cracks. I don't even know if it got up to even JW. I can't speak to that. But the fact of the matter is that they had something that pretty much predicted what would happen and it wasn't looked at. That's an oversight. And they a lot of their apologies came back to the process wasn't right. We own that. We want to change this. We want to do better going forward. And that for me was big to see them be human on that side and own that. Again, there's still like things, you know, still got to give a little because of where they're at in the process, but they could have eliminated so many of these issues with like even just reading the thing.
Yeah. Did it feel like, I'm assuming they didn't obviously like relay whose fault it was that didn't go up the chain. But was there any sort of like indication of like, yeah, we got this, but why that didn't factor in there? Why I don't want to say ignored, but something like that, that's significant that they requested as feedback for it to be slipped through the cracks. Like you say, is what I felt in this entire process is that there are some very, very, very smart people in that front office that made some very, very uncharacteristic decisions. Mm-hmm. And it's just like trying to kind of wrap the people who are listening, kind of trying to wrap our head and the fans really wrap our head around how that could have happened, slipped through the cracks, you know?
Yeah. So this was my olive branch that I gave them as like, you know, the fan component. I don't know if any of you guys read that article, in the Athletic about Atlanta United and like Carlos Bocanegra. I kind of been like a theme for this week for me has been seeing that at the end of the day, we're all humans. We all have different platforms. We all have different things. And humans make mistakes and they owned it. This is just a mistake. They did not speak to the hows and whys, you know, why it got ignored, but at the end of the day, it got ignored. It wasn't in the place it should have been. These are human errors and they ran with it. Like, and I remember Dee, like my favorite part of Dee, she was like, honestly, she's like, I really thought it was a good idea. You know, I thought this was a good idea. And that's a human feeling. Like, that's her feeling good about what she's presenting. It missed. We're going to have misses. There's just, unfortunately, just is on a public scale and not behind the scenes. So And again, that's not me like saying that, like, you know, all is quote unquote forgiven. It's just, but the fact that they recognize the miss, publicly said it, and to us, and we're willing to make a way for it, I think that's the bigger picture here. Yeah,
I want to clarify. I'm not trying to like lay blame on anywhere. I'm just like trying to, again, wrap my head around how.
How that would have.
Yeah.
Dude, the how again wasn't spoken of, but that was, I think it's going to be a question we're just all going to have, and it helps me sleep at night just being like, you know, they messed up. It doesn't make sense, but they messed up, and go from there. Even Jeff said that, like, we don't think there's any ill intentions from the front office. There's really smart people on both sides. This is just an oversight, but massive oversight and a mistake, and they were quick to do it. Because the fact, if you guys really think about it, the fact that we had ownership come into town within like 5 days of this thing is really impressive. That's how you know that, like, they recognize we messed up.
Yeah, that's fair. And that's definitely huge, is that the realization to the global dismay of everybody. Mm-hmm. And they turned around, and they didn't have to do that, but they did. And that raises the respect for them.
Yeah, because right now, I mean, I think Montreal, I don't think ownership has said anything about theirs. Like, Chicago, you heard a little bit of like, ooh, we're so sorry, da da da. Montreal is still just quiet, and we could have easily got that, and they could have been like, hey, ingest our product. And obviously there would have been most likely consequences to that. But like, for them, it's a win because they get to, number one, they get to still do the project that they want to work on. They also still get to, for the first time, set a different look for ownership, fan relations. And they now have a path forward. And that's what we're excited about. The path forward, we think like these situations won't happen, quote unquote, as much, because there's now going to be transparency and interactions. So,
and that's what I want to ask about, is because you mentioned, you know, not all is necessarily forgiven. And you also mentioned, you know, previous ownership has kind of made this fan base have issues trusting ownership, and rightfully so. So, in your mind and conversations you've had with other fans that either were there or weren't there, you know, what do you need to see? What do you guys want to do? What do you envision out of this supporters liaison role? I mean, I know this is all new, so I don't know if you have answers for that, but go ahead.
I can give like an overview, because fans, at the end of the day, just not even fans, humans, we all have a voice, correct? At the end of the day, we love to be heard. It doesn't matter if it's in major or big ways, like, you want your voice to be heard. So that applies in fan situation. The way I see it happening is like the fan council in itself has their own internal meetings, and that gets siphoned to the liaison, because the liaison will be, it sounds like to me, on crew staff, like that's going to be an actual staff member. I'm hoping that they vet that person to be a person that's a soccer person, number one. I hope that person has Columbus ties and history, so that way they can interpret the things that the fans want really well. I mean, because most fans that I've talked to afterwards were just more so overwhelmingly excited that the name was back. Small thing. I haven't heard fans being like, well, I want to make sure that the Nordica has like this presence, or we sing these songs. Like, I don't think those things are as important yet, but those are things that now will have a platform to be brought up and siphoned up to leadership. That makes sense, kind of answer.
I'm just chuckling to myself, thinking about what would happen if there was, for their Cleveland Browns, if there was a dog pound board with a dog pound liaison hired by the Cleveland Browns. You know, this is what they're learning, and what all the owners in MLS, what Don Garber needs to learn, is this is a different animal. Mm-hmm. We've seen all over the world, most recently in the Super League, and the backlash on that is that, you know, if you do your supporters wrong, they're not going to be silent. Whereas, yeah, you know, I think in other sports, fans protest by stop coming to the games, yeah, by selling their season tickets on StubHub and staying home and not supporting the product. It's more passive. In soccer, it's definitely the passion is right there. And the supporters are learning. I think, you know, fans of other sports are going to pick up on this and go, hey, wait a second, I don't have to sit and accept crappy Bengal team after crappy Bengal team. I don't have to do that. I can be heard. And who knows where you've probably started a revolution here.
Dude, that's what inspires me. It inspires me in the sense of, I think, We talk about resilience a lot over the last couple of years of like Save the Crew and such. And I think one of the main lessons that we will learn and also continue to teach is just exactly that. Like together, like obviously we can do just about anything, but our voices do matter. And our voices as humans, as a group, it just needs to make sure that like it's being heard. So how are you positioning yourself to be in that place? And I think that is one thing that I will say that helped this whole issue is that think about this. There are some teams with fans that it could be so visceral that they would never have a place at the table. But I believe because of the way Save the Crew and Nordica position themselves as, how should I say this, professional about it, that allowed that room to have that type of like atmosphere where there things could live, things could breathe, things could actually happen. We could get tangible results from it. That's a place where like using your voice in a positive way worked out really well for the club. Like we've used our voice these last 4 years and just like we are known for respect. We are known to move with professionalism. Yes, you have bad apples in every single thing, but as a group, we're looked at to like as the right voice. That's what got us that place at that table. And that's what I'm really proud of to go forward.
Absolutely. A lot of smart people are involved in this and they've learned that they could be a resource, you know, that you can draw it and you don't have to pay most of them.
Yeah.
You
know? That was one of the things that Jeff said.
Free ideas.
Jeff was like, this machine that's like right now that you're hitting, like he's like, this machine wasn't built to work against you. They're meant to work with you. That's the beauty that we can bring as a group, as Nordica, as crew fans. We are a unique machine, but we're here to work with ownership and they need to like you recognize that asset. And I believe this is the path to that. And I love it.
So Bart, I can't open this screenshot that I think, Ori put it up. Is this a jersey? It's not working on my computer. Is there a mock-up of a new yellow jersey that's in the wind as well?
I don't know that, but I did catch you kind of mention it, Ty, and I don't want it to get buried. You said you saw you saw the crest on a yellow jersey, and at least most of us have not seen any yellow jersey. And I know that was a huge sticking point. And I think, you know, layered on, I think that kind of made the rebrand almost exacerbated things because you'd started at the beginning of the season by getting rid of the yellow jerseys and that rubbed people a lot the wrong way. I've heard rumors about yellow jerseys. I know Smurf mentioned that he'd seen some stuff about it too, but it sounds like you guys saw a yellow jersey.
I actually explicitly asked, am I allowed to confirm that? And yes, I'm allowed to confirm it. There's a yellow jersey coming. And it's funny because Tim Miller was there, the communication guy. He was like, we actually have already like said publicly that yellow is not leaving. Yellow's a part of our brand. And I was like, you're right. I remember that statement. But it's there. I saw it. It's beautiful. Honestly, like I'm really freaking excited about it. Like I think you guys, some of you may have heard from me, like my thoughts on yellow jerseys in general, like they're hard to wear, quote unquote. But this thing looks sexy. It gave me like Dortmund vibes with like Columbus spin. And I know obviously because it's like a 2 year cycle and they're always on a template. I don't know what the other teams look like. Are they going to all have that same template? But I mean, you have teams like Portland right now, and they have a completely different like template. So I hope that's like our original look, what I saw, because it is just, again, I enjoyed it. I was very happy when I saw it.
And that's one of those things, like you look at, that's what's so exciting about the, you know, the fan council and hopefully, you know, there are other ways for even more fans to get involved. But you look at what Philadelphia did with their jersey this year, you know, that had direct fan involvement. Now, how direct that actually was to be determined, but you see when fans feel like they've got to buy in. I mean, that jersey, I think, looks awesome. It is completely unique in MLS and the fans for Philly absolutely love it. I'm a big fan of it and I'm hopeful that that's something, it sounds like this, you know, obviously this yellow jersey, it's already done, but it sounds like it's going to be great. But that's something that I hope that we can get out of this fan council and this just increased engagement moving forward, even if it doesn't mean we're going to get a new crest in, you know, the next 2-3 years.
Yeah, I think that's, again, it's a thing that, as Pat said earlier, those are the wins that we need to carry and just own as ourselves. As Crew Nation, not all teams have this luxury. I mean, we really could be sitting in Chicago right now and having to deal with what they've had the last, 10, 15 years. we could easily. We are in a very special place in the world of sports, and a lot of things that happen around Crew Nation are just such like unicorn moments in the world of sports. And I think we just need to just enjoy it and go. Now, again, that's not saying that we just blissfully like let things slide. That's the whole point. Like, we're almost like holding the stewards accountable, and they actually want us to do that. That's what I like about it.
And if they see themselves as stewards, that's an accomplishment.
Mm-hmm. And I still believe they stand by that. Like, I'm a pretty decent, like, I can kind of like feel out your vibes pretty quickly. I'm like, I'm a people person, but like, I can kind of tell when you're like up to some shit. I feel good. I feel good about where they're at. I feel good about the ownership. I feel good about the direction and the evolution of the club. And again, I told you earlier, I'm very much for the evolution and the elevation of this club. They have a plan, and I really like the plan. So,
well, Alex is the biggest cynic in this virtual room. Alex, are you satisfied, or do you need some more reassurance from Ty here?
Well, I am glad that they came back to the table. I think, again, you know, this is we're two for two in the category of bullying billionaires into doing the right thing. So I'm very happy to see us once again, you know, show our power on social media to do good work for our community and to make some progress that honestly will be good for them too. I did have one other question. Yeah. You know, obviously, I think that a lot of people felt like that initial version of the crest was a little bit of a miss. Does the ownership still feel like this new version is going to be a miss? Did they kind of give any sort of indication as to what they are expecting from things? Do they think that even this new design is going to result in lost sales, or are they optimistic that this new design is going to kind of solve some of the problems that fans had and that people will kind of come around to it and it'll end up making more money than the current version does?
So I'm going to give you two answers to that. Okay. I'm going to give you
okay.
like what they gave us, and then I'm going to give you like what I think is going to happen. Okay.
Okay.
Because obviously there's company line. You can't just go in there and be like,
yeah,
let's blow this up in front of everybody.
I hear you.
They believe in it. They believe in it. And that's going to be apparent with how much money they put into it, how much you're going to see it around the stadium within the merch. It's going to get pushed. They believe in it. The fact that, again, that they allowed there to be tweaks made, even like that's them saying like, we want to give this a chance, a strong chance. So my take on it is that if you truly believe that, right, and you're going to lean real hard into it, then you need to sell it to us. Like, you need to make it look cool as shit. I need to know, like, this is the coolest brand ever. And I know, like, some people are like, well, it's not cool to begin with. Well, that's what you have a marketing team for, you know? That's why you have campaigns. Like, honestly, like, if we're being really real, this is where I get, like, kind of, like, passionate about it. Outside of the interwebs and our little crew bubble, I haven't seen as much Columbus stuff. So I actually was very heartened when I started seeing the sea take over the sea thing, right? That's the type of stuff I need to see to like start like making this thing look cool, making this thing make you ask questions, to make it have conversations. There's got to be that marketing like component has to be. And that's the only way it's going to work. And I think for them, they recognize that. You're going to see that push. You're going to see that like wrapping the arms around it. And obviously us as supporters, like the supporter group, we want to actually like, you know, wrap arms around it too and also make it look cool. Like, we've got activations. We've got to make tifos and make this thing look cool. We've got to like do really cool in community engagements around it. There's got to be an all buy-in. I can say that the buy-in is definitely in on the ownership to make it happen. We're going to have to do our part as the Nordica and supporter groups to also make it happen. But at this point, they're in. They're in on this thing. That's what it is. So make it look cool as shit and I'll be into it. Because I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, I've talked to a couple of friends about it, and I've said it twice, I think, on some interviews. The hat with just to see, I'm into it. I'm into it. Doesn't mean it's for everybody. I mean, I didn't really like the gray shirt. Whatever. They need to find a way to make something for everybody in this whole thing, and I think they'll achieve it. I like what I saw when I saw the different ways it lives.
So, yeah, Ty,
one thing you said that.
Sorry, go ahead, Alex.
Oh, I was just saying one thing you mentioned earlier that I had kind of tweeted out a couple of days ago was, you know, maybe you can recapture some of those fans with throwback gear. I know you had kind of mentioned that. So hopefully they lean in there. I would love to give the team my money. Yeah. Realistically, I'm probably not going to be buying the big C anytime soon. At least I'll have to come around to it. But would love to still give the team my money. So I'm happy to hear that they're at least talking about kind of leaning in on that. I feel like that old stuff, you know, you're seeing it with some of the other teams in the league. It's starting to come back around again. They're doing some of that Mitchell and Ness stuff. So if they lean in more there, maybe they can kind of minimize some of that.
And that was supposed to be an entire thing last year for the 25th anniversary that Mitchell and Ness was going to do. And, you know, everything obviously got derailed with that. So, you know, I think that is something that this ownership group should embrace. And I understand, and I think this needs to be pointed out, you know, I think they came in and viewed, and Ty, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but that they viewed the previous ownership as, you know, a negative time, you know, frankly. I mean, with everything that happened with Save the Crew and Anthony Precourt. And I think a lot of Crew fans look back at that as like, well, things were good on the field and the logo was great. And like, obviously it ended very poorly, but like, you know, I think this is the ownership's way of kind of putting that in the past. Yeah. But I certainly think the hard hat, you know, the three guys is something that, you know, we were talking before the podcast about this show that Fox is doing that kind of blew up on Crew Twitter yesterday with the girl that was wearing all sorts of old Crew stuff and how, you know, everyone jumped on that. And, you know, I think that's something that this, you know, get your stuff out. And I fully understand what you're saying, Ty, about you want to promote this new look and work it. But at some point, I think there is a time for, you know, maybe not putting on jersey, but putting it in your apparel line. I think
It's that. I think that happens, and I say that like confidently for two reasons. Like again, I told you we talked about it in the meeting, but at the end of the day, like they're gonna find ways to like get you to spend the money, and they obviously hear us. Obviously, they know what's up, and they see the things that are going on. They know we have this connection to the past and the roots that we have. They're gonna find ways to make it happen. You have to again, like right now. You got to repair this whole thing. So yeah, you got to sell that. But once the waters are like calm, you start bringing back fun stuff. I mean, there's honestly, from my opinion, there's ways for the throwback stuff to live within the world that they just created in this new brand. I can see a lot of potential. Cool. And that's, you bring in people that get the culture, that's the type of stuff that happens. And I have faith that that's going to happen.
I think that one of the cool things about this and Save the Crew, and I know those are very different moments, but they were kind of moments where the community came together and said, hey, we don't want you doing this, and kind of stopped it in both cases. But that first one, Save the Crew, was really, you know, we were fighting for our community, to save our community. And I think, at least for me, my visceral reaction and my kind of, you know, tweet storming and in anger at this new redesign was about the dropping of Crew. And it felt like an attack, not on the community, but on our history.
Yeah.
And, you know, Save the Crew, that name is so intertwined with our history and our identity, our feelings about ourselves, that, you know, now that they've brought that back, I think they can kind of double down there and say, hey, not only do we hear you on the Crew, but we hear you on your history, and we're going to sell that history basically. So I do think there's an opportunity there. It'll be interesting to see how they bring that to life.
That was one of the things I see the note from Ari there. Like that was actually when they showed us the name, I actually brought up the point to leadership that I was like, them dropping SC does two things. It, as Pat said, it wipes away that little last thing of the last regime is what we'll call it. Okay. And it also allows them to still give back, you said, our identity. I think that was actually their biggest win. That's why I told you that was my biggest thing I wanted. Like, we identify as the Crew. Give us the Crew. You wipe away SC. That's still you being able to make your mark and eliminate something that was, quote unquote, bad, right? Like, I didn't mind that SC. I don't care. But, like, you achieved so much with just solidifying your identity. And, again, the history is now restored. You're respecting it as well. I think they're still getting used to like what soccer culture is. I mean, like a lot of sports, some sports, like the history doesn't carry as much weight as soccer does, that in my personal opinion. It's just that history is usually interwoven within your club. You can't separate the two. You just can't. And that's why I didn't like the whole like, well, it's still the nickname. I get the marketing speak behind it. But at the end of the day, you're literally saying like what you've done doesn't matter moving forward. And that's not quite the thing. And even in life, we should always look back to learn so we can move forward. And I didn't like that separation. So bringing it back together is a big, big deal. And again, I believe that like cooler heads and the smart guys in the room will figure this out, and we'll be very happy with the club, I think, 5 years from now.
I have one concern here since the SC is being dropped, is SC the cat also homeless?
No, that is a thought. You know, I once I saw that, I think someone tweeted, it was like, someone's like, oh shit, like, I might have a job now. I think they get creative. I kind of liked the duo thing. I actually like kind of embraced it. That was one of the fun
kids
things.
Kids love the, one of my daughters, when she was little, she was terrified of Crew Cat. But otherwise, kids love those cats and they have to remain. The last game I went to, the last home game, it's like the kids were just, and that gives them a connection to the team. And it sounds silly to us grownups, but they love it. And it's just this little thing that you can do to reach out to the community. So I'm in favor of keeping two cats. I don't care what you call them, but the kids love them.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get rid of them. I mean, you've already had them at the games. You can't just like kill them. Right. That's more.
That would be inhumane.
Yeah, so I think you'll see that stay around.
You keep Crew Cat, and then you just kind of, you know, send SC on a vacation for like a year or so until they announce that USL team. And then you just rename SC, whatever the heck the USL team is, and do a tie in there. And then you're fine. Then you've got two, the big cat and little cat, right? So
SC goes to college and comes back with a different name.
Yeah, that's fine.
He's like got better hair now all of a sudden. He's like, I'm cool now, Dad.
Yeah. I'm like tatted up or something.
No, dude, it's going to be an interesting evolution for the brand tonight. And again, like speaking from fan me, like fan Tyler, and not like thinking about marketing Tyler, I'm excited. I was really frustrated, like to see everything grind to a halt. I'm happy to see that, like, it looks like the wheels are back on and we can still move forward. There's so much to be excited about around this club, and I was disappointed to see it stop for a second. So.
Yeah, I mean, it really did hit me right here. And I kept questioning myself, why are you being so irrational about this? When I turned on ESPN and that grinding Taylor Twellman, who I can't stand, is, you know, running his mouth. And at the bottom of the screen, it says Columbus SC. And I just sat there fuming. And even if we had played well, it was like, this is a drag. You know, I have to listen to Taylor Twellman and I got to look at Columbus SC on the bottom of the screen. It's like, and I'm thinking, well, this is stupid. It's the same team. Why are you being such a baby about this? You know, I have these conversations with myself. And it's like, no, this is not right. So it's great that they've solved this as a supporter, as a season ticket holder. I feel much better than I did yesterday. So thank you for all your efforts, everyone involved. You guys held them to account and it worked. And I think that going forward, this will become something that we'll think of every once in a while, but it'll be like, oh, remember the two games that we lost when we were Columbus SC? Wasn't that silly? You know, it'd be a little thing that we vaguely remember.
That's what I'm hoping for. I think there's been lessons learned, hard ones, easy ones, whatever. As long as we keep moving forward, I'm pretty happy with everything. And I will say this, like, I'm out of my mind excited for this new stadium and everything. I think it's going to change everything. I think completely day one of that new stadium opening, we all have so much just roll off of us when we walk in there. So
I can't wait. It's so exciting.
I just really want to say that I really appreciate your enthusiasm through this. I started seeing your tweets last night and a couple of tweets from Jeff. And I feel that, you know, the Nordic has some good prevailing heads that are not always, you know, going crazy. Having been around the team for a while, I've seen some iterations, but I do appreciate, and I'm looking forward to seeing how that turns out. So yeah. I think it'll be hopefully fun to see. And I see Alex has a rebuttal for what I'm saying.
No, not at all. I actually,
you just assume.
Yeah, no, I wanted to echo a lot of what was said. You know, I obviously have my gripes with the logo, but at the end of the day, it's a logo. And getting the name Crew back is a huge win. I think it was, you know, a good decision by the club. I think it was, you know, kudos to everybody who fought for it. Kudos to you, Ty, for kind of standing up and saying like, hey, this is crossing a line here. Like, we don't want to abandon the history there. all in all, I mean, a big win for supporters and puts us on the right footing heading into that beautiful new stadium. And I think I agree with you. It's really going to change things. And getting this all in the rearview mirror before we go there allows us to start off on the right foot when those doors open, allows the fans to kind of be hyped about it. And it's going to be great. I can't wait. I was not excited a week ago. I was excited a month ago. And then the rebrand kind of killed it for me. But now I'm back. So thank you so much for everything you did.
No, you're probably
well, and frankly, one of the things, and someone pointed this out to me today, and like, it's unfortunate that it had to go this way, but heading into a new stadium with everything, you know, this is kind of the lull. You won MLS Cup. You haven't been playing well. There's kind of a lull before you get in the new stadium. There's two other teams opening stadiums. The Crew was the most talked about, possibly soccer team in the world, but definitely in the country this last week. And like, to come to a positive resolution off of that is like, you talk about global branding. I mean, it was the number one story on ESPN multiple times throughout the week. It was covered by a bunch of different, you know, global outlets as well. So, you know, maybe positive comes from this in terms of like, hey, now everyone's paying attention to this team again. And, you know, hopefully they start winning and whatnot. But as you move into that stadium, you're being talked about again. And, you know, they say no publicity is bad publicity. And maybe in this case that works out because it ends where people are mostly happy.
Yeah, that was like my one tease of telling Jeffrey. I was like, well, at the end of the day, they did say they wanted to be talked about globally. So
right. Yeah, exactly. Said,
we win. I think now it's on us to make it when the eyes do turn on us. Then what is it, July 3rd? Is that when the game is? When that happens, we put on a freaking show. And that's what I'm excited about. I didn't want there to be, because I mean, it was moving towards people being upset enough to like, that day could have been a bummer, like a real bad bummer. And I forget what I was talking to about how like MLS right now, the main product is the atmosphere. Like the casuals don't come for the soccer. They come for like the time they had in that stadium. And if we can like have that supporter culture still on point and obviously keeping us happy, we can sustain that for quite some years with this ownership group, with the things they're doing. There's a perfect formula in there for this to be just quite spot on, and that's what I want to see moving forward. So
it's already been forgotten that around the same time that all this broke, Torts left the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah, that's wild to me. We haven't barely talked.
That was a big sports story, and it basically just went away. You know, yeah. I mean, obviously it's not Ohio State football season, so that changes things a little bit, but. You know, you're right. I mean, this story really, because people are already looking at us going, man, they did it again. Yeah. What is it about these people? You know, it's season two of this great show, this great drama that we can't take our eyes off. Now, what I would like is for our eyes to return to the actual team on the field. And what we've seen the last couple of matches is not very compelling television. Let's work more recent to more in the past, because we do have the matches were coming hard and heavy here lately with the Champions League and everything. New England game, you know, as much as I can't stand Taylor Twellman, I think that he brought up a good point that we just seemed flat in New England, which is understandable. Lucas didn't play. We have all these nagging injuries around the pitch. We've had to fill in here and there. And it did look, it lacked creativity. It lacked flair. But the most disturbing thing to me, and we didn't get punished for it in the last two games nearly as much as we could have, was just the marking mistakes that we haven't seen with this group of guys the last few years. Have you, Patrick or Ori, have you had a chance to debrief Caleb after the New England game? And if so, what's he saying? Is he worried? Where's he at with this team?
So he said after the New England game that he's still very confident in his guys and reiterating the point of they're tired, they have injuries, and they're getting healthier. So he's very confident in his group going into this New York City game this upcoming weekend. And with the marking mistakes, I think in open play, you haven't seen as much of that. There were maybe two or three instances in the Toronto and New England game combined where you saw poor man marking in open play, specifically the worst one coming in the New England game when Carlos Hill was wide open in the box and LA Room had to make the save. And you would have to say that goalkeeping and defending are the strongest areas of the pitch right now for this team, because you have one of the top three, top four goalkeepers in MLS in Aloy Room, and Jonathan Mensah still playing very well. But set pieces is this team's problem. You know, against Toronto FC, the first goal conceded was off a corner kick. They couldn't clear the ball, and then the ball just falls to Michael Bradley, of all people, who I know Pat is a huge fan of. Three Crew defenders just standing around him, watching the ball, letting him shoot. Bad defending. Free kick for the second goal, played right off the training pitch. Like, remember the goal that the Crew scored against Monterrey that Bradley Wright Phillips put in? That's the exact play Toronto ran to success, and it was counted. And it was scored by Josie Altidore, another player that we are all big fans of for the U.S. men's national team of late. But then against New England, what happens? And this play hurts my soul because I lost a eighth grade semifinal to a play like this. In the midfield, the ball's sitting there. No midfielder is coming to run to stand in front of the ball so New England can't take a quick free kick. If you rewatch the goal, you see Carlos Hill is like, take it now, take it now. He sees Brandon Bye running down the right wing. Frazier, nobody in the midfield, specifically Frazier, was probably supposed to be the guy to run and just stand in front of the ball so he can't take it quick. Doesn't do that. People are lying around. And then you see Brandon Bye get the ball easily from Hill. You can hear Caleb Porter in the replay on ESPN. Come on, Booba. Like, he's literally yelling at Keita, like, run at him, get at him. Cross comes in. Mensah and others trying to play the offside trap, which I can't stand the offside trap. And then Buxa's open and just taps it in, easy finish. And I think that set piece defending needs to definitely be fixed. But even so, two goals against Toronto, one goal against New England. It's not like Cincinnati or other teams that are conceding three or four a game. You need the offense to help out. The defense is playing its part mostly in open play. The offense has to return the favor. You're five games into an MLS season, and not a single one of your own players has scored a goal in open play. One Lucas Zelarayán free kick and two DC United own goals are all the Crew have to their name in five MLS games in terms of scoring. So the offense needs to start clicking again. You need to start seeing actual good crosses put in, communication with runs, and good clinical finishing in the box. Offense is the biggest weakness in this team to start this season. But also, before I end my point, we do need to mention Saucy Brewworks, because this might be our last podcast on Zoom. We might be there next week. And remember, Saucy Brewworks is the best bar in Columbus and place to be in the world. Saucy Brewworks, if your brew works, then why not be saucy with it?
Well, thank you for that, Ori. I think we neglected that at the jump, and that's my fault. So thank you for picking me up there. You know, I need to get my game together too. So thank you for that. Bart with a disturbing stat in the chat here. That's not good, is it, Bart?
No. And just, for those of you who can't see our chat, which is everyone listening.
Handing it to you, so you can say it.
In the chat, I got a 5-year contract to sign for the Crew in midfield. So that's happening.
There you go. And that was just the disturbing thing in the chat that we were talking about.
I need to review Ori's eighth grade semifinal scouting report before recommend you for the Crew.
To see the film.
Circle back.
But what is expected goals? How is that calculated? And what point is it? Just as simple as we were expected to score 0.4 of a goal against New England?
And I am not a soccer super soccer analysis guy. I do know that when that number is under 0.5 or under 0.1, it means you're not generating any sort of chances to expect to create any goals. And so when that's what you've got, they had an expected goals of 0.43 against New England, and that just shows that this team has not been creating any chances. It's been concerning. Jossie Zardes, we haven't seen much from him. Even, Lucho Diaz, guy who they may not be the greatest chances, but, in past years, we're used to him at least forcing some of those shots. For a while we had to be like, no, we need you to put your head up, look and try to find some outlets instead of just blasting it away on net. What I would give for that right now from Columbus Crew, for somebody to look like that they're trying to score that goal. They're trying to be too pretty. And it's just it I'm not too concerned. They're dealing with the injuries. Obviously, they've had to play so many games early on. We know players like, you know, Lucas Ellerayan can take over a game in MLS. We haven't even seen hot boy Kevin Molino yet. And that, I think, is going to be a real big addition and a big shot in the arm for this team. Unfortunately, it's early on in the season, and we're not dealing in with that compressed season like we had last year. But you can't afford to continue to give up goals like this, or at least no longer generate. And I think at some point they've got to. There are too many players on this team that are proven MLS scoring track records. Yeah, some of them are kind of on the older side of that, but you've got to think they've got a breakthrough here at some point. And hopefully NYCFC, you know, that's the opportunity to do so. And the other factor is the road, and that this team has been under Caleb Porter very underwhelming on the road. Won an MLS championship last year without winning any games on the road. And to see that trend continue this year, I don't maybe put as much stock in it as some really vocal Crew supporters, but it is concerning.
Well, and I think if you look at this big picture, and Bart, you touched on some of this with the injuries, and I think Kevin Molino is the big one, because if he's available and Lucas Zelrayan can't play in a game like Sunday's, you know, you can slot him into the 10, keep Pedro out on the wing where he's better, and still play one of those wingers out there. But also the lack of training time, and, you know, this team, and Caleb Porter's harped on this, and I don't know how much people think about this with the team, because, you know, a lot of us play recreational soccer or you know, maybe played in high school and stuff, where you practice and it's important, but on a professional level, when you're game planning for each team and things like that, working on things like set piece defending, working on how you can better get stuff into the box, because frankly, these are the same guys that you played last year. Teams know what you're trying to do to get the ball to Giassi Zardes. You know, things like integrating a new player like Liam Fraser in, so he thinks to step because that's his role. You know, little things like this that kind of get lost and cost you in these games that get worked out on the training ground. And I think we saw this team last year, especially when they had time to prepare for teams. You really saw it in the playoffs. You know, this is as good of a team as there is in MLS. And, you know, I think they made that point on the broadcast that right now this roster probably isn't an upper echelon team. But once everybody gets back, I think you really have something and what we expected going into the year. So, you know, like Bart said, I don't think there's room for a ton of concern. You know, if you don't see some progress this week against NYC, again, on the road, but you want to see steps taken. And then going forward, I think that's when you maybe start to have some concern. But, you know, we've seen what this team can do at its best. You even saw it in the Champions League at times. So, you know, I'm not overly concerned yet either.
I feel like Ty is a level-headed person that can give us perspective, because, you know, we're used to talking to each other in this virtual room. Any room for concern in your head about this team? Or are you like, hey, stuff happens. It's just part of the ups and downs of the sport.
I think we've all said it. We're seeing the slog of games taking its toll. As Pat said, like, the amount of games they played in a very short time is ridiculous, and the amount of injuries they had is always going to play a toll. I think what you're going to see now is, now that we're back to normal schedule, you'll see a hyper focus obviously on these games and getting people healthy. And we honestly have to, because one component we haven't really talked about this year is that we don't have a lot of like interconference games. Everything's against an Eastern Conference team. So like, you get behind really quickly, it's going to be pretty hard to get back. Like, you, I think we play maybe two Western Conference teams this year, I think. Yeah.
Austin and Seattle.
They were
thinking about travel for that one.
Yeah. So I'm like, Porter and Crew know that's important. So I think like, you will see a jump start either this weekend or next. And it's because out of necessity, like, we literally have to be taking points off these teams that we're playing, because they're all Eastern Conference teams. And the people that are like, oh, well, the team is not doing this or not doing that. We've not looked horrible. We've just looked like a team that's tired. I mean, if you really think about it, like, we're letting in dumb goals, which is just, that's fatigue, mental stuff. Like, I think we start chopping it up into the next 2 weeks, you start seeing it like be the team that we've been like pretty happy with. So that's my take though.
Sounds good.
I think we need to start.
Go ahead.
We need to start winning on the road at least one. I want to get one road win. We have not won a game on the road since September of 2019, and it's May of 2021 now. So it's been a minute. Like, I want to get at least one win, kind of break that streak a little bit. But yeah, I mean, they look super tired. So hopefully we can get healthy, get fresh, and start putting some results on the board. I mean, we are still defending MLS Cup champions. We kept almost all of that championship team. I mean, it's not like we're super depleted or anything like that. Losing Aiden Morris earlier this season hurt. But, you know, I think that, you know, that we're better than what we're seeing. They just got to get it in the gear.
Ori, you have a mind-blowing stat about Caleb Porter's career as an MLS coach that I'm just shaking my head at.
8 road wins in over 250 plus matches that Caleb Porter has managed in Major League Soccer with Portland and Columbus. He has won only 8 games on the road. And you can thank Tyler/Taylor Twellman for that stat. I found that out. I was watching the New England Revolution preview on their Twitter, and he mentioned that stat. And then they showed it on ESPN as kickoff happened. I'm like,
wow, I missed that the other night. 8? That is a bizarre stat.
I would wonder.
I
would just wonder what other MLS coaches, you know, I mean, he's obviously been around a while, but, you know, MLS teams' records on the road are pretty poor just in general. Like, you know, even, you know, you go back and look recently, you know, current MLS era, you know, teams, even some of the best teams struggle on the road from not crew level last year struggle on the road. But, you know, I think that I would be interested to see what some of the other top coaches in the league, you know, how many they have. 8 is definitely low for a guy who's coached that many games. But, you know, I would be in, like, what, how many road games has Bruce Arena won? I'd be interested to know that. Obviously, he's coached significantly longer than Caleb.
His percentage would be kind of what we're looking at there. What his win percentage would be on the road. But I think, Pat, you bring up that interesting point, MLS teams having trouble on the road. You think about the MLS and how unique of a league it is. You think of the European leagues, like the Premier League, Bundesliga, road matches for them. These aren't exactly cross-country trips. The flights are not. If you're flying from Columbus to Portland to play a soccer,
they're cross-country trips, but they're cross-country trips that only take 3 hours by bus versus 3 to 5 hours by plane.
That's a great.
I mean, it's very possible that you think of MLS, Chinese Super League, and, you know, maybe the Russian league, where the travel schedule is probably the most demanding in the world. But MLS is incredibly demanding for the travel schedule. Even just thinking about interconference matchups, you know, you've got a team like Orlando, which is in the East. That's a far trip. Atlanta's a relatively far trip. I know Sam wants to say something.
Well, Chris Doran said something on the broadcast about that the MLS protocol right now is that they have to fly in the day of the game. So they flew into Boston on
Sunday morning.
So that there, I mean, that will mess with you, even if you are, if you're rested, even if you're this. So the expectation of winning a road game when you have all these obstacles that you have to do because of COVID protocols and things like that will mess with it. But I think the stat that you put up about winning 8 games in his entire career does kind of put some things in perspective a little bit. And also think about how that the crew lost one. Did they even lose one game at home all of last year?
One against Montreal.
All of last year. So that kind of gives you that perspective of like the two sides of that coin of how that's working.
I mean, the crew's home form is the reason they're champions, and how lucky they got that every playoff game was in Columbus. They had the chips fall their way with Toronto losing, Philly losing, and then you saw Orlando lose to New England, and then they got to host New England, then they got to host Seattle. But that's obviously 2020. And we're in 2021, and New York City is going to be a big challenge. This is a team that's off to a hot start. The Eastern Conference is really jam-packed to start things off. You've got 7 teams with at least 8 points in the Eastern Conference, with New England in first at 11. New York City with 2 wins, but you want to talk about a hot start. Jesus Medina and Valentin Castellanos, 4 goals each for New York City. They account for 80% of New York City's goals this season so far. So those are going to be the two guys to watch. And they've scored from open play. They're dangerous on set pieces. And this is a team that is going to be able to create chances against the Columbus defense. But at the same time, you have to, the Columbus offense has to get something going. You expect the defense to have a decent performance. You don't see the Columbus defense give up more than maybe two goals a game for the most part. We saw them concede three against Monterey, but obviously that's Champions League. But in MLS play, they probably, you know, one to two a game. Offense needs to help out their defense. They have to start getting better crosses in. And because of the fact that the offense has been flowing through Luis Diaz a lot, and this is someone who doesn't have that finished product with the final cross, with the final shot, the chances haven't been able to come. And then also Zardes is playing with a really painful injury in his shoulder. And in general, the offensive chemistry is not there. I'm really curious to see when Kevin Molino comes in, which should be in a couple of weeks here, if that really ignites the offense. But you got to get Lucas Zelarayan back. You need to start to see some offensive cohesion because they need to score goals now.
And Murph, if we remember last season against New York City, they played us in a very physical fashion. Guys like Tinnerholm laying the lumber and really, really making us uncomfortable, especially when we went on the road. I would expect the same thing in this match.
Yeah, and I think teams have realized you can be physical with the Crew. Obviously Monterey is not an MLS team, but if you're scouting games this year, you saw what they were able to do to some degree. So, yeah, I mean, I expect with what NYC has, you'll see something similar. Fortunately, as we discussed before the podcast, this is at Red Bull Arena, not the postage stamp that is Yankee Stadium. So more space to move the ball around, less space to be physical and commit fouls. You hope that if that is the tactic from New York City, that it's handled correctly from the official. And there's ways to be physical without being dirty and committing a lot of fouls. And the Crew has to be ready for that. Unfortunately, as we've talked about, they have a week off or almost a week off to kind of get right health wise. And so hopefully that's the physical part of it is not as big of a deal.
Alex, you wanted to chime in?
Oh no, I was just criticizing Ori for being a New York Yankees fan.
I thought you wanted. Okay.
That was me trying to shame through my computer screen Ori for saying
that's okay. Josh Williams shamed me last year after we beat the Indians, and he and I wore my Yankees hat in front of him in a Zoom meeting, but I made up for it. I got interviewed by New York City's digital content producer. That story is up on their site. And I told every New York City fan to go to Graders and the Zoo and recommended and told them Columbus is awesome. That's my way of repaying my Yankee fandom.
Well, as long as you're not a New York City FC supporter, then it's all good. We've been so negative. Can we go around the room and say one positive thing about a player on this team? And then we'll make our picks and wrap things up. Does that sound good? I'm going to start with Ty because I can tell you're a positive guy, Ty. I want you to pick out one player and say something good about
him. On our crew team, right?
Yes, on the current roster.
Okay, I'll make it super easy. Makes me happy. I know he's happy. Vito is back. Vito is back on the field after a very long injury plagues, just, past 12 months pretty much. I felt a lot of joy for him, and I know his teammates feel the same way for him, and I know him and his family love to see him back to what he loves. I think we'll see more of him this year as he gets his lungs and his legs back underneath him. I love what him and Mensa bring. Mensa brings this cerebral just strength, right? And then Vito also has that strength, but he's also his passing is a complete, it's almost like a midfielder. Like the way he can hit his long balls, the way his connecting passes to the midfield, he brings a completely different dynamic inside there when it's just Josh and Mensa. Mensa and Josh, he's going to be let's bang bodies around, let's make this happen. Vito brings this calmness, and I love it. So happy he's back. He's a man.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like we don't really know his game too well because he missed so much time, but you're right. You're absolutely. Thank you. I knew I could count on you. Alex, do I dare ask you to say something positive?
So, the Sunshine Brigade supporters group was literally named after me way back when on this podcast, because I was such an optimist.
If I lost any of that, you can thank
Mr. Anthony Precourt for snuffing out the joy temporarily, but it's coming back. It's coming back slowly.
But I think
if I was going to highlight one player, you know, we've had a rough stretch of games here, but if there's anybody who can help get the locker room right, it's our captain, Jonathan Mensah, who I think is, you know, a future Circle of Honor member for sure. And someone who I think the players have a lot of respect for, and, you know, is someone who is incredibly driven to be successful, not just for the trophies and things like that, but for our community. You know, he's constantly on social media talking about how much this fan base means to him, and could not think of a better representative for our club in that locker room. So really, really thankful that he's still on the roster, and hope he can be here for many years to come.
Bart? It's therapy, Bart.
So for me, a positive sign I've seen has been Wayland Francis, who's been forced to play, you know, in a starting role, frankly, for these last few weeks, and more than I think we anticipated him. He's certainly not quite, you know, back at that level that 2014 or 2015 Wayland Francis, a guy who's getting, you know, serving up wonderful crosses to Kai Kamara, getting 6-7 assists a season. But he's playing his best soccer for Columbus since he returned from Seattle. I think he's been a really welcome guy to have there from a depth standpoint, as Milton Valenzuela's continued to kind of have this nagging thigh issue. I don't necessarily want to, you know, see him there obviously too much longer, but I think he's played well overall since being thrust into the starting lineup, and expect to probably see him again against NYCFC this weekend.
Very good. Can I ask the journalists of the group to say something positive, or is that like crossing the line and being biased?
No, we're good. That's fine. I will touch on Darlington Nagbe, who, while not being healthy, you know, working through some things still, continues to, you know, complete passes at a ridiculously high level. You know, on the weekend, pushed into the attacking midfield role for a little bit, until they had to make more subs and, you know, kind of completely readjust things with Abdul Salam playing out wide and whatnot. But, you know, he's a guy who continues to perform. You know, he's never been a big stat guy, as we've discussed before, but, you know, continues to play well. You know, you'd like to see him get a little bit more involved offensively when Lucas Ellerayan isn't in there, but, you know, what he does in the middle of the field for the Crew is just, you know, we talked about it before, but, you know, very few, if anyone in the league, runs the midfield like Darlington Nagbe does in terms of passing and keeping the ball, retention, things like that. So, you know, that's something that hasn't dropped off even with battling injuries for him.
Yeah, I like, you know, when you watch Darlington play, I like how he always knows whether to do a quick circle with the ball or do a quick angle with the ball. He's so, as Ori's pointing to his head, he sees the game. They used to say this about Gretzky, is that he could see things before they happened. And in this world of MLS, I feel like that's what Nagbe does. He sees things before they happen, and he reacts to what's coming, and it never comes, if that makes any sense. He's just a joy to watch. And you're right, he's not a stat sheet stuffer, but it's just the subtleties are so much fun to watch. Ori?
I was going to say Nagbe, so I'll say his midfield buddy Artur, because I think you do have to applaud Artur and Nagbe as well, because they've had to take on a ton of minutes during this really difficult stretch of games, because you saw Perry Kitchen get injured. He's going to be out for a little bit longer. Aiden Morris getting injured and out for the year. Liam Fraser coming in and not being able to play on Wednesday. And because of the fact that Caleb Porter mentioned that a lot during press conferences, he would have like to have Fraser available for Wednesday, but he couldn't play against his parent club Toronto as a loanee. Isaiah Parente starting to get his feet into the mix here in MLS, you know, a young first year player. So Nagbe and Artur have had to play a ton of minutes, and, you know, we were told, you know, Artur has been very sore, but he's been playing his role well, playing that eight role, trying to sort of do a little bit of a mixture of a true CDM, but also trying to join in on the attack every now and again. But Nagbe is certainly the person that joins in more from those two center mid spots, but Artur as well has had some good positive moments in regards to his defending and, you know, being able to just stay calm on the ball whenever the crew tries to do a slow build up play. So really and you know, most of us are mentioning midfielders and defenders. I think we should mention Aloy Room, the goalkeeper. He's made some big saves this season, but
absolutely, you know,
the attack in general is really, you can see we're not mentioning too many attacking players. That is sort of the mediocre side of this right now. And, you know, I've said it once and I'll say it again. I'll say it again in my predictions. They need to score. It has to happen.
Yeah. Sam?
I'll touch on somebody who's going to, I feel like is going to fill a position that I don't think we were expecting. But with the, well, it's Derek Etienne. I think he's going to fill in that Hector Jimenez role of being kind of that utility player that you can bring in, and he can play on the wing. He can play on the defense. And it's like, it's amazing how, like, if you think about it, 2 years ago, he was playing for New York and then he played for FC Cincinnati and didn't stick in either of those teams, but mm-hmm. he came and he fit into the crew scheme pretty well. And in Caleb's play style. And I feel like he flourished in the last 2 years. So I'm kind of excited. Of course, Hector was a great guy, but Derek also seems to be a great guy, but I think he's going to fill that utility role for the team pretty well.
Absolutely.
Hector, I think he's Hector dealing with an MCL injury suffered this
week.
Oh,
no.
He's going to be up for a while, it sounds like.
That's not good.
Unfortunate for,
I mean, we don't like who he plays for, but we like him, so we could separate that out. I just want to mention a couple of kids, because I always like to watch the kids, and especially Booba. Being a fellow Westerville person, I just have a special place in my heart for him. And what I like is that he doesn't seem at all intimidated when he's asked to play a big role. And we saw when he slipped and fell, and there was the goal against Monterey, but he just got up and kept playing hard, kept playing without fear. And I think he's grown a lot in the last year. I don't mind at all when he's on the field. And I think he's a great asset going forward. Obviously, he has great people around to learn from, and I think he's absorbing all those lessons. So I think great days ahead for him. All right, Ty, what we normally do is we go around and we make our picks, and then you wanted to have the final word about your friends in Nordeca, so we'll let you have that. After we make our picks, I'll let you make your pick first, Ty.
I'm assuming your pick for this weekend, like the –
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, for the score of the game, yes.
You know what? I'm going to go wild and say we're going to see a 2-2 draw. I don't see us getting that W yet, but I see us going a 2-2 draw. Like, I see it happening, like, go down 1-0, and then, like, we actually go up because we're, like, upset at this point. We go up 2-1, and then tiredness catches up. But I'll take a point. I'll take a point. We'll take a point.
2-2 from Ty. All right. Let's go to Bart.
I am going to get back on the bandwagon this week after picking the crew to lose for the first time in my Massive Report podcast history last week and being right about both of them. I think crew are going to get off the stein now that they are the crew again. I'm going to go with a 2-1 win in beautiful New Jersey. I think that Jossie finally gets his first goal of the season. And you know what? We're gonna let's go crazy. Isaiah Parente, first MLS goal. Yep.
Wow.
There you go.
Well, he has great hair. We know that. It just bounces up and down. I don't know if you've noticed that, but it's just like there's something going on with the physics of his hair that I haven't quite figured out. So he's got that going, and I think he's off to a great start too. We were talking about mm-hmm. Booba. I also think the situation is not too big for him either. So I have confidence in him. Sure. Why not? Score a goal. I love it. Alex?
So I'm going to go 2-0 crew. I think that we finally break our extremely long away win drought. I think that the players probably feel a sense of relief knowing that all this stuff is in the rear view. And I think that'll come off on the pitch for the same reason that I said that I thought we would struggle in the last two games. So I think Jossie will score. And then, you know, I think I'm Bart, I'm sorry that you were not the one to predict this because it's going to happen, but I think it's going to be a Josh Williams set piece goal.
Here we go.
I love it.
Ty, this is a tradition on this podcast is we've been predicting Josh Williams goals for months now. And somebody, who is it that has to get a tattoo if he scores? I've forgotten.
TK from GCG bag. Yeah, he's still committed to that. He might not know that he is, but he is.
He is. Fair enough. Sam?
Yes, I will also predict a Crew victory since they're not playing in the postage stamp. 2-1. 2-1. I think Lucas gets a look. I think it's going to be Pedro getting tackled somewhere around the box and getting a free kick, and Lucas is just going to punish whoever that goalie is, no matter where they put the players, even if they lay one on the ground like the European teams have been doing.
That's an important point. You know, as we saw against DC United, with Lucas on the field, teams have to think twice before fouling in certain areas, and New York City wants to play us rough. So they do have to be careful as to where they do that. So that could certainly be a turning point. Murph?
I'm going to say a 1-1 draw, but I think it's going to look better. There'll be more chances. I still think the finishing probably will need to get a little bit better, but getting guys back, like we talked about, getting some practice in, I think they'll look good. New York's been pretty good this year. So, you know, I don't think that's a bad result on the road. You know, I do think they need to get off the snide with this road winless streak, but, you know, I think that will come further down. This will also be, for the first time in a long time, the second Crew game in a row I can't watch live, as I will be in the wedding of our former beat reporter for the Columbus Dispatch, Andrew Erickson. So
shout out to Andrew. Who gets married during a Crew game? What's going on with that?
Andrew did enough covering the Crew. It's actually his rehearsal dinner that we'll be at that night. But
are you having Arby's?
Just tell him to put the game on.
I cannot comment on the Arby's situation. I'll just leave it at that.
All right. Wow. Okay. Well, I can see where his priorities are since he left town. What are you going to do?
His wife, probably.
Yeah. Well, they're not married yet. I mean, just say, hey, it's the bachelor party. We're going to watch the game. I mean, you could do a lot worse when you use your imagination in these areas.
This is true.
All right.
I will say the best time to schedule a wedding that is never going to interfere with big sporting events is in the middle of July after the MLB All-Star game, when literally nothing is happening other than maybe the Tour de France at that point. Yeah. So schedule your weddings, you know, like July 21st is a good wedding date. But for the game, I'm actually going to predict a New York City win, 1-0. I think the road woes are going to continue. I don't think the finishing touch is going to be there quite yet. I do think we'll see a better product in regards to some better buildup and a couple of chances coming out of it, but I still think the fatigue is slightly going to affect them a little bit. But in general, I just think that this team on the road, just I'm not sure if they have it yet. Maybe that first road win they'll get will be at Austin. Wink, wink. Mm-hmm. But I think more momentum builds when they host Toronto here, and you're going to have a more harmonious game against Toronto and then against Chicago. Now with sort of the, you know, the meeting that happened with Nordeca in the front office with the rebrand and discussions of the name, you could see, we'll see banners there again. You'll see a little bit, you know, more harmony between the fans and the front office. So the atmosphere will be good there. And this team is better at home than they're on the road. But I think New York City's on a good run of form right now. And I think the goalless drought also continues. So I'm going to say New York City wins 1-0.
All right. I'm with you in your line of thinking, Ori, but I do think that, you know, I'm focused on how New York City, I know how they're going to want to play this game. And I think in the end, they're going to get punished for it. And we're going to score a goal either off a PK or a Lucas Zinger, like we saw in DC. And we're going to get out of there with a 1-1 draw. And we have to match their physicality. And I think that's something that this team needs to get a lot better at. Some teams, it's just the collection of personalities. You just don't play that way. Maybe it's not something that Caleb emphasizes. I don't know if you guys have a feeling for that one way or the other. But I've noticed that when it gets down to elbows and grabbing and shoving and cleats in the shins and so forth, that we're just kind of wilt from that a little bit. And I'd like to see us play a bit more physically. So I hope to see that against NYC. on Saturday night. What time's kick? 7:30?
7:30 on Bally Sports Ohio.
Yeah, 7:30 on Saturday. So we'll assemble again next week and parse that out and move forward. And hopefully no more talk of logos and rebrandings. Not that we didn't love talking. You know what, Ty? Come back anytime. We're going to get together at Saucy and do this together. And you're always welcome.
Hey, I was going to say, like, I stayed the entire time. I enjoyed this thoroughly. Thank you guys for, like.
Yeah, we're not that bad.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Would love to come back if y'all want to just talk soccer or just random shenanigans. But, yeah, what I was going to say is just, like, hey, guys, like, you guys heard me say it a million times. I'm really excited. I really encourage fans right now to just join the Nordeca in general for two reasons. Number one, like, this team is going to do a lot of cool things, and the way we're being set up to be a part of the team is going to be very unique this year. You don't have to sit in that corner to be a part of Nordeca. It's going to be an overall community that I want to foster. And honestly, like, the leadership of the Nordeca is phenomenal. I mean, getting to watch Jeffrey and John and Joe and all of them, like, in person at this point, you guys, we have a really great leaders on that side, and we should all just join this thing and make this thing work out.
So, Ty, is there a background check or an initiation ritual that people should be concerned about, or is it pretty straightforward?
To get into Nordeca?
Yeah.
Oh. I want to, like, say something, like, snarky, like, well, you've got to come in, wear your, like, shirts backwards, and then, like, wear a Toronto jersey for half a game. No, it's about good people. Like,
okay.
I've met a lot of great people through it, met you guys. I'm excited. And Bart, I appreciate you. Like, I do need to start plugging myself. I forget sometimes that I, like, do a lot of things. Everybody, check out Tucson FC. We have a podcast. Elle and Amobi both do some really great just soccer talk across the league. I'd love to see you guys type in and give us your thoughts on it. I'm on there every once in a while, sometimes. But it's really great to add to your just wonderful library of podcasts, including this one. This is fantastic. I think this is my second episode I've, like, listened to / been a part of, and I enjoy you guys. So put Tucson FC in your queue. Do your thing.
Imagine how much more fun we are in person. So not Saucy when we do it. Ori, give us the Saucy line again, and we'll get out.
Saucy line again. Even though last week I said it with SC, we're not doing it because it's no longer SC. It's gone. Saucy Brewers is the best bar in Columbus and place to be in the world, people. Saucy Brew Works. If your brew works, then why not be saucy with it? We'll see you there next week.
Well, pretty good. So that's a for sure. We're going to be together next week.
He committed. It's on a podcast now.
Committed. We got to do it. We're all vaccinated. We've got 6G. We're ready to go to Saucy. Let's do it.
I'm going to shave just for you guys.
Ooh, baby.
Oh, boy.
All right. We got to get out of here. Thank you so much for listening. Like and subscribe. Massive Report Podcast will be back live for the first time in about 15, 16 months, and we're looking forward to it. For our guest, Ty, great job, Ty Phillips, Alex, Bart, Murph, Ori, Sam. My name is Brian. Listen to my radio station, CB92.9. I would appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week on another edition of Massive Report Podcast.